NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field.
Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
All right. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. It's a great weekend out there. We're super appreciative of you guys joining the show. Shouts out to our 600 affiliates out there playing our shows, having us on your airwaves. We love to entertain your markets. Yeah, it's been a great week of sports, and we're going to jump into it. TJ, Plex, how y'all feeling, man?
Man, I'm feeling good, baby.
Yeah, good.
Hey, man, I feel great, man. I'm excited about the show today. We got some great stuff to talk about, some very juicy content. So, yeah. Man, you know, hey, the people tuned in for a reason. Let's give them what they want.
All right, well, if you want to tune in and check out things, you know, on Twitter, make sure you go to @FoxSportsRadio. You can listen live on FoxSportsRadio.com. I guess if you're hearing this, you can hear us anyway, but just so you have options. And you can hit the iHeartRadio app, Sirius XM 83 as well. Yeah, we are on Sirius. And if you do happen to miss the show, make sure you go subscribe to our podcast, Up on Game. Wherever you download your podcast, you can go get it and you can see it there and you can listen to all of this content amazingness, content gold from, well, guys like TJ and Plex. You know, I'm just here to help y'all out. And I want to set up the fast break right here. We're going to do a 3-on-2 fast break drill right now. This week, I get a call. I get a text. I wasn't available for the call, but I could tell by the way my phone was ringing that Plexico had a problem with me, had a problem with something, had an issue with something. And I immediately got a text in our group chat for the show about the Tim Tebow situation. So we're going to start here. We're going to start here with the Tim Tebow situation. We have Todd Furman, our guy, our resident bets and Vegas guy from Fox Bet Live. He'll be on, and we're going to ask him about some of the things that are going on in sports and in the betting world and how they, project out. But I want to talk about Tim Tebow, and I just want to know, is this outrage? Has it gone over the top? Is it warranted? I'm going to start with you, Plex, because you seem to have a very, very interesting take and seemingly passionate view and vantage point of what's going on here.
Hey, you know, this is not outrage at all.
Okay. All right.
There's no outrage. It's the simple fact of that, you know, Urban Meyer, this is a power play, but it's not hockey.
Okay.
This is a position of power by Urban Meyer. Basically, he's extending his hand and giving Tim Tebow a job to play in the NFL that he does not deserve. He hasn't earned it for a position that he has never played and hasn't played football in over a decade. Almost a decade. This has nothing to do with football. It's a publicity stunt. It's a power play by Urban Meyer. And TJ, y'all know, in the locker room, the players don't respect that. Mm. You know, you have a guy like Tim Tebow that walks in the locker room and he walk into my locker room talking about, rah, 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 let's go. You'd be like, man, if you go sit your ass down somewhere, we had to earn our jobs. Your job was given to you. My job is performance-based. I have to go out and perform. They gave you a job. And that's what, as a player in a locker room, it causes strife in situations like this because, you know what, you don't have the respect of your peers because your job was given to you. And if you're a defensive end or a defensive player, when Tim Tebow comes out there as a former quarterback and puts his hand in the dirt and he goes against guys like JPP, Bosa, Von Miller, Aaron Donald, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to eat his lunch. You know, hey, you know what? They're going to be like, we got a wet paper towel out here. Bounty, run through. quicker pick a upper? How quick can you pick him up off the ground? That's exactly what it's going to be. Listen, he doesn't deserve this opportunity. It was given to him. And you know what? The players will be like, you know, you privileged, man. We had to work for our job. We had to earn it. And there's been a lot of highly touted college football quarterbacks that have played and won national championships, but they just weren't good NFL players. Tony Rice, Tommy Frazier, Scott Frost, all these guys were great college quarterbacks, but their game didn't fit the NFL play. But if Tim Tebow was good enough to play any position in the NFL over the last 10 years, whether it be quarterback or tight end, he would have been playing. The NFL didn't get this wrong. He's just not a good NFL player. And that's the bottom line. And for Urban Meyer to give this man a job that he doesn't deserve or haven't earned and haven't played in 10 years, I mean, is that the kind of, environment he wants to set? I mean, listen, I haven't played in 10 – you know what I did 10 years ago? I led the New York Jets in touchdown receptions 10 years ago. I tell you this, I'm 43 years old, and I guarantee I'm a better tight end than Tim Tebow. But ain't nobody picking up the phone and calling me, but I don't want to play anyway. But what I'm saying is at 43, I know he's not a better tight end than me. There are guys who deserve an opportunity, undrafted free agents, unrestricted free agents and tight ends that are looking for jobs, and Urban Meyer is giving out charity and giving his man something he doesn't deserve. Mm.
And what you just said for me, I'll be honest, I don't have a problem with the Plex. I really don't. But the problem that I do have is there's a kid that earned this opportunity, that deserves this opportunity, and it's going to Tim Tebow. And I look at it like this right now. Tim Tebow is one of 90. I doubt it very seriously. Tebow will be one of 53. Mm. I doubt it. He can play, he can get on the team in the offseason. September rolls around. Tebow will not be a part of the regular season roster. They signed him to, quote unquote, be a leader. We all have been in locker rooms and meetings, and they want him to show Trevor Lawrence. Unless the tight ends and quarterbacks all of a sudden start meeting together, what is Trevor Lawrence going to gain from him? You're not even meeting together. Tebow will be with the tight ends. And so this isn't the first time that nepotism has occurred, and it won't be the last. And, okay, let me be honest. If I'm in a situation and y'all need my help or y'all, and there were more qualified people, I'm hiring y'all. I'm going to hire y'all because y'all my boys. Tebow and Urban Meyer, they're friends. Urban Meyer is doing him a solid. That's what friends do for friends. We don't sit on NFL level, but this is what happens, man. We live in a world of have and have nots. And Urban Meyer is in a position of power. He's giving Tebow an opportunity. If we were in the same position, we would do the same thing.
Yeah, we would. I'm going to jump in right there, and I'm just going to bring a different perspective, because my perspective kind of leaves the football field and kind of visits this whole cancel culture that we have found ourselves in as a country. And it's interesting because a lot of times we believe that cancel culture is directly specific to racial groups canceling out, you know, different things that take place. But then there's also the idea of the Me Too movement and how that is a part of cancel culture as well. And this mob-like mentality that has kind of taken over, I don't know if it was birthed in social media. I don't know where it really came from, but I feel like, you know, as an American society in general and as a whole, we've gotten so soft, and we've gotten so inundated with how things are handled that there we would actually and listen, y'all my boys, like, so I hope y'all don't take offense to how I'm approaching this, but I just think that is whack as hell that we even have an opinion about it, to be honest, because in the end, old ass players come and go in locker rooms every single week, chasing their dream. We know somebody right now that played in the league that is still training for the National Football League and trying to get tryouts and will show up to trials. They might be 40 years old, 40 plus, you know, and they're still trying to make it into the league. And the only problem that we seemingly have in the outrage in the media, what it seemingly is at this point, is the fact that Tim Tebow is Tim Tebow and that Tim Tebow is getting an opportunity. And whether it's given or whether he earned it, it really doesn't matter really in the end, because if he earns it, nobody's going to look at it as he earned it, because everybody who sees it the way they see it from perspective wise is going to look at it and say that he was given this opportunity. And you're right, TJ, from my perspective, that's what nepotism is. That is what cronyism is. And that's exactly what this is. Every single day I work my ass off to be able to learn business, to be able to learn the industry and the categories that I'm associated with and I'm in for this very reason. The one thing I learned, a very valuable lesson that I learned in business, I lost my job. I came out here to California 7 years ago. I lost my job after 2 years. I was fired, let go. I uprooted from the East Coast. I came here to work for a network. They fired me because they felt like I made too much money. I couldn't understand why they didn't value me more. Then I'm looking at certain people, I will leave nameless, and they're climbing the ladder and they're going and going and they're getting to the next level and they're getting to the next level. And I'm sitting at home with no job. And I know I'm dope when I crack this mic. I know I'm dope when I'm in front of a camera. Sound familiar? Because y'all sitting there at home and y'all doing the same thing at some point, like sitting there looking at dudes like, I know I'm better than this dude. I know I got more rap. I know I got more knowledge. I know I bring more energy. I know I got this more than this guy in spades. But yet, this dude is blowing up. And then I realized, just like what's going on with Tim Tebow right now, Tim Tebow has built up so much advocacy, so much admiration, so much respect, so much support. You're damn right it's a power play. It's a power play because, you know what? His amount of advocates that he has supersedes any type of opinion, any type of outrage, any type of feeling that comes his way. He gets opportunities because people advocate for him in places where he can get those opportunities allotted to him and afforded to him. I learned that very valuable lesson. When I was coming through, people would be like, you know, they'd ask me, can you do this show? You know what I say to them, fellas? Hell no, I can't do that show. That's not in my contract. I don't have time. I got to go do this. I got to run here with my kids. I got to do this, that, that, and the other. And then they never ask again. And no, and you know what? It goes from being in a position to create advocacy and respect and trust to, oh, he's a diva. Oh, he said, yeah, we pay him X amount of dollars. He does this show. We ask him to do another show, and he's like, that's not my contract? Like, who do you think you are? And so to me, what I started to realize is I can't move the goalpost on situations like this. I got to stay right down the pipe. And if I'm staying right down the pipe, fellas, this man has done so much to build advocacy with so many people that the reverence that exists with those people wanting to always, if I can help Tim Tebow try to assist himself in reaching a goal, you know what that does for me? That says I can look at my son or I can look at my daughter that Tim knows and has prayed for and has come over and visited and has played catch with. All of the experiences that have led to them feeling the way that they feel about Tim Tebow, it all leads to opportunity. And for what it's worth out there, people, this is some real up on game right here. This is game. You need to learn that and you need to understand it and you need to teach it to your children. Instead of teaching them to hate a color, instead of teaching them to hate a gender, instead of teaching them to make excuses or feel as though I didn't get this opportunity because this person got it and it was given to them, you better learn how to create advocacy. Learn how to meet people and generate those feelings where even if there's somebody out there that may deserve it more than me, even if there's somebody out there that may be better than me, I'm getting the look. You know why? Because I invested something that maybe somebody else didn't do, which was the time and the energy to be able to build relationships, guys.
this is also great for business for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tebow lives in Jacksonville. He's from Jacksonville. This is a business first. And again, I'll be shocked. I really will be. If he's one of 53, I'll be shocked.
So will you actually be shocked if he's one of 53? Come on, man.
I will.
He's never played. He's never played.
He's never played it.
Man,
I'm the only defender here.
It would not surprise me if he makes the opening day roster down there in September for Jacksonville. I would not be surprised at all.
Plex, me and you stopped playing around the same time. LeVar stopped playing before us. Tebow ain't blocking LeVar right now.
Well, that's what I'm sitting there thinking. Like, I body slam. I body him right now at 42. I body Tebow.
People don't understand. Like, he has to block
the guys I just mentioned. You're right.
Like Von Miller, man. Von Miller, come on, man. They're going to give him wedgies before they go sack the quarterback.
Very, very excited. Sorry about it.
Let me eat this lunch, man. Hey,
I wonder if there is a betting line on Tim Tebow and if he's going to make that 53-man roster.
Free lunch.
There's other things going on. Medina Spirit, he's cleared the race. How about that? That means a whole lot. And we're going to bring our expert on from Fox Bet Live, Bet the Board podcast.
I'm very, very excited about it.
Yeah, we're gonna bring our guy Todd Furman on. We're gonna talk about how all of this plays into betting. That's TJ Hushmanzada and Plexico Burns.
I'm talking about everything, baby.
We definitely do. You're listening to Up On Game, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Up On Game.
All my life.
I mean, this is one of those relevant songs. All your life, you got to grind all your life. You know,
got to grind, baby. How is she gonna get this?
Shots out to the late great Nip. You know, he's a man. Anyway, I want to jump right into this segment. As we mentioned before we went to break, we're bringing in our expert of experts in betting. He knows all things betting and is like just the man at doing it. And I love when he's on the show and I'm able to talk to him and hear what he has to say. Let's bring in Todd Furman from Fox Bet Live, Bet the Board podcast. Dope joint. Make sure you download it, subscribe to it, check him out. He'll help you out with your handicaps and all those different things. And you can find him on Twitter at Todd with two D's, Furman. All right, that's Fuhrman. Todd, welcome to the show, man. Appreciate you coming in.
Hey, thank you, boys, for having me. Hopefully your Saturday is going well so far.
Absolutely. What was the over-under on having a good Saturday? Let's start there. What was
I mean, you guys got to make it a 1 to 10 favorite. That, okay. You know, you come in with a positive mindset, and the only thing that can go the wrong way is if you lose a bet early in the day. But the reality of it, LeVar, is that you have all day to make that money back. With hockey, soccer, you name it, there are wagering opportunities aplenty out there in the betting markets.
Sounds good. Sounds good. All right, let me start off with a real question. We were talking about the Tim Tebow situation taking place, and I'm just wondering, is there a line on if Tim Tebow makes the team, and what does that look like?
Well, there's not an official line on him making the team. However, odds makers always get a little bit creative, so they find a workaround for those type of opportunities. The over-under for Tim Tebow receiving yards as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars this year is 19.5. So it pretty much says, hey, look, if he gets out on the field, he may have a chance. But if you guys are looking for a big payday and you have better intel than I do, Tim Tebow to score a touchdown this season, 5-1 the going rate.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
you have to believe that he's a long shot to make that roster. But you dig into the depth charts down there in Jacksonville, and who knows if the relationship between him and Urban Meyer runs deeper than that talent.
Hey, Todd, the preseason doesn't count, right? This is all regular season, correct?
Exactly. That's okay. The loophole there to a lot of people that tried to figure out, hey, wait, if he catches a ball for 25 yards in the preseason, can I cash my ticket? It's regular season games only. Otherwise, trust me, you know he'd get 12 to 15 targets that first week of preseason, regardless who was under center.
Right.
This is crazy.
Hey, Todd, let's talk about what's going on today in the horse racing world with Medina Spirit.
Yeah, Medina Spirit, an interesting storyline for those that have followed it. Of course, test positive for a banned substance after winning the Kentucky Derby a couple weeks ago. So they'll be going to Pimlico without Bob Baffert, the trainer, but the horse will be allowed to run. What's interesting about it, though, is that normally the Kentucky Derby winner gets all sorts of support in the betting market going into the second leg of the Triple Crown. But people typically, when it comes to these horse races, don't bet for what they think will happen. They bet for what they want to happen. And at a lot of books, we've seen Medina Spirit move off of the favorite line into that two-hole behind Midnight Bourbon. So it'll be interesting to see if Medina Spirit, without potential chemical enhancements, so to speak, is able to go. But if you believe in the Bob Baffert stable, hard to ignore what we saw
now,
at Churchill Downs and, of course,
unquote,
what we'll get from Concert Tour.
Wasn't the quote-unquote chemical enhancers very, very little?
It was, and of course, it's in an ointment that some of the horses will use as an anti-inflammatory.
Yeah.
So there were a few extra grams in there. And of course, we know that Bob Baffert has been a target and drawn the ire of the horse racing community. So you never know where there's smoke, there's fire. But we'll see what this horse has in the tank later this afternoon.
Who's your bet?
You know what? When I look at it, I think the favorites have been bet down a little bit too far. And when I look at Bob Baffert's pedigree, the fact that he's entering two horses in the race, I'd be taking a look at Concert Tour, a little better odds that are out there. And, of course, when you're looking at these races in 10-horse fields, you're going to want to try and back your pony, win, place, and show. But the horse races, for me, honestly, a little bit more novelty than anything else. I'll focus my energies and try to make a few bucks elsewhere today.
Hey, man, this is Plexico, man. Look, so, I've been in the horse racing for a few years now.
He lives in North Jersey. Everybody looks at horse races.
Listen.
And the restaurants there.
I've been to every event. I've been to Kentucky Derby. I've been to the Preakness. I've been to the Belmont Stakes. I've been to Florida Derby. I've been all over. So two weeks ago, I bet on Helium, which is with 39-1 odds. You know, I'm always bet for the underdog. You know, he was undefeated. So I'm just looking at this whole Bob Baffert situation, man. Like 30 horses over the last 4 decades, like testing positive for like steroids, man. Is the horse game like really that grimy?
Oh, the horse racing game is about as grimy as anything else that's out there. I mean, we know about the situation that unfolded at Santa Anita when you had a lot of horses die, whether it was training regimens or it was the track that was problematic. But it's much like the auto racing world. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. You're trying to do everything you possibly can to give any of these ponies an edge, and whether it's in a claiming race, a stakes race, or something that'll command this kind of a national attention or the Breeders' Cup, these guys are going to bend, twist, and tweak every single rule known to man that's out there. The biggest thing, though, guys, as long as you get that right information, you keep your mouth shut, you walk to the window, and you try and bet the winning horse, they're not coming after us as bettors. They're only going after the trainers and the ponies themselves.
So after the horse wins and he fails a drug test, does the owner and the team still get the money?
Well, that's the thing. If they're deemed to be positive tests, it gets a little bit dicier there, and a lot of times they'll have to forfeit some of those potential outcomes. But the one thing, knowing the power brokers that are out there, they're extremely reluctant, unless they have a number of confirmed tests, that they're going to try and go after the stables or the trainers. Bob Baffert has drawn a ton of scrutiny, so this is nothing new to him. But as far as the actual bettors are concerned, I think this is where some of the frustration comes in, that if you bet the horse, as soon as that race goes final, even if the outcome is overturned 3, 5, 7 days later, there's no refund. You can walk away from the window with a little bit more cash in your pocket.
That sucks for the people who picked the winner. So he did not get disqualified for the record. So the Triple Crown is still at stake as we move into
this.
Man,
I'm rolling with Medina Spirit today, baby. I love the Triple Crown races. I'm not gonna lie.
Let's switch gears and go to the hardwood, because we only have so much time, and I really want to hear your opinions on, you know, the MVP situation, as well as this continued thought process of the If Gang. I've started to label, and the leader of the If Gang is actually TJ Hushmanzada for the you know, the Lakers fans out there in the world. If LeBron James, if Anthony Davis can stay healthy, if Schroeder can stay healthy,
if,
you know, this Lakers team has a chance to win out of the West, come out of the West. What are the
nobody
odds
wanna
makers?
Play us. Nobody wanna see us. I'm sorry, Todd. No, but nobody wants to see us.
Todd,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
What are the odds makers saying about the ifs? Is there a line on the ifs for the Lakers? Who are we looking at to come out of the West and this MVP race? Like, what's the line on that, and what's the thought process behind that?
Well, the MVP race is over. We can wave the white flag. That thing is as good as done. Nikola Jokic right now, guys, is a 1-60 favorite. So for those folks new to gambling, you got to put up $60 to make a dollar. He can accept the hardware now. It's just the formality of when the league actually
hey, in 10 out. Years, they'll say, who won the MVP in 2020? Nobody's going to remember.
TJ, let the man talk, man.
I'm
let
sorry.
The man,
I'm sorry.
But now, we're not now, talking TJ, about the Lakers.
As far as your beloved Lakers, they're priced at 5-1. It puts them as second favorites right now at FanDuel behind only the Brooklyn Nets at a shade better than 2-1. The Lakers have moved, though, into Western Conference favorites at +240, slightly ahead of the Los Angeles Clippers. And today, of course, the game that tipped off just a few minutes ago against the Pacers marked only the second time all season the Lakers had their entire roster healthy. So it looks a heck of a lot more formidable when you're talking about Dennis Schroeder, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, throwing Andre Drummond in the mix, and everybody else. But the Lakers, of course, not going to be a typical lower seed. They're working against history, guys. It's been over 25 years since the Houston Rockets won the NBA championship that a team has taken home the Larry O'Brien Trophy, not seeded 1, 2, or 3 in the East or West.
Is it looked upon, if you go back to last year, and obviously the Lakers were seeded higher, that break they had because of COVID, and it wasn't about, oh, okay, we got to worry about the chemistry. It was they had this break. Guys were rested. I look at LeBron missing the games he's missed. Obviously, AD missing the games he's missed. They got that break similar to what they had last year. Not as long, not as many months. But do you believe this rule, one, rejuvenate them? And two, who are they better off playing in the first round? Should they prefer to fall in that seventh seed so they can play either Utah or Phoenix?
Denver. They're going to play Denver.
Well, 100%, I think when you look at a team that has as many veterans as the Lakers do, they're not worried about trying to secure home court advantage throughout the regular season. I think the health that this roster could have going forward is much more important. We'll see how LeBron James fares on that ankle injury and how Frank Vogel can bring him back slowly but surely. I think the Lakers, the only team that they fear, and if fear is probably way too strong a word, obviously, would be the Clippers. I don't think they're worried about the youth and inexperience of the Suns. I don't think they're worried about going into hostile territory to take on a Jazz team that's been banged up in their own right.
They just worried about making shots when they need them.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. If you're going to tell me the Lakers can shoot 30% or better from beyond the arc, hey, this team is going to walk to the Western Conference Championship, and that's when they'll have their hands full with who comes out of the East. But until we see more out of the Clippers, I mean, there's a reason, guys, that even as banged up as the Lakers were and continue to struggle during the regular season, you could never get them at a price of even 3-1 to win the Western Conference. Odds makers more, set it, forget it, and we're going to hope that the Lakers returned at full speed when the games mattered most.
All right, Todd. Hold, we got to jump. We got to jump. But, Todd, we're going to bring you back on because we're definitely going to continue to get that inside information that you provide for us. We appreciate you coming on. That's Todd Furman.
Appreciate you, brother.
Fox Bet Live.
Always a pleasure, boys.
Yeah, Bet the Board podcast. I mean, make sure you check it out because he is definitely one of the most knowledgeable, if not the knowledgeable, in the game. And he's on Twitter at Todd Furman. Like I said, with two Ds, F-U-H-R-M-A-N. That's Todd Furman. Hey, we're going to bring you back soon, man, because we got to talk about all these ifs. And I want to know what the payout is once the ifs are set in there and they turn in the if tickets. But we appreciate you coming on, Todd. All right. All right. Let's go to let's get an update from Ralphie. We got Ralph in the back. Let's go. What you got?
Well, we got NBA basketball, guys. Three games going on right now on the penultimate day of the season. At the end of the first quarter, Chicago with a 29-28 lead as they play at Brooklyn. Thaddeus Young leading the way. He has 8 points for the Bulls. Meanwhile, Charlotte playing in New York at the Knicks, and it's New York with a 32-25 advantage, 40.9 seconds to play in the first quarter of that contest. RJ Bullock leading the way. He has 12 points. And the Lakers at Indianapolis take on the Indiana Pacers in LA with a 34-25 lead, 49 seconds to play in the first quarter. 17 points in the first quarter for Anthony Davis.
We ain't playing.
He's a little happy to have LeBron James
back
in the
lineup. Let the man
finish talking. Oh, wow.
No, he is definitely excited to have LeBron back in the lineup. No doubt about that. Coming up at the top of the hour, two more games in the NBA. Boston playing at Minnesota. Phoenix is at San Antonio. On the Major League Baseball scoreboard, one game going on right now, and that is the Mets in St. Pete taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. Joey Wendell with a steal, throwing error. Yandy Diaz scores, and the Rays with a 1-0 lead over the Mets. They are in the top of the second. One more note from the NBA, guys, is Marv Albert has announced that this will be his final season calling the NBA.
I hope nobody comes after him and starts biting his style.
You cold. You cold.
Lavar, I thought you had his back.
Hey, you're cold. You're cold.
Way back.
Way back.
Way back.
You cold for that.
It was so easy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's cold, buddy.
I'm sorry.
Cold,
I mean,
cold as ice.
You tell jokes like that, Lavar, someone might call you a chump.
I know it. I like chumps. I'm going to be a chump.
I said chump.
Oh.
I'm a champ.
Oh, I got it.
Be careful, Ralphie.
Okay. Set it back now. It is up on game.
You chump your eye out. Hey, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to let you go yet, and not in that way, pause, but I'm telling you, I want to get your opinion on something.
Okay.
All right, so we were talking during the break, and I want you to introduce your opinions on Tim Tebow before we go to break to TJ and Plex, because I want to hear their response to it. You made one reference to what it would do to help Trevor Lawrence, and then the second one was the comparison or the example that you gave in Green Bay. Go.
Okay, well, first, you know, everyone talking about him being out of the game and removed from the game, and that's absolutely true. But Plex, you had a quarterback that was selling insurance for a while. So you know that a guy can be away from the game and come back and perform, right? And that's Tommy Maddox.
At the same position, though.
Well, but I understand. I'm just talking about people saying he's away from the game. So I agree. Hey, it's the same position versus something he's never done. If he makes a roster, it's going to be because he earned it. But the other thing, guys, is Jacksonville, having worked in Florida like I did, Jacksonville is a small market in terms of the amount of media covering the team. And if you can siphon off two or three guys that are not hassling Trevor Lawrence, that's a good day. And anything that can take a little bit of attention off of this guy in terms of the people that are there at practice talking to him every day is going to be a good thing. Even if it's one day a week that Trevor Lawrence can have a little bit of breath, it's going to be better for the kid.
What say y'all?
I don't know. If
I love it.
I don't know if that's worth it. Like, you're going to have guys in this locker room, man, that are going to have a problem with that. Some of your better players.
Well, you know what they're going to have a problem with, and this is the reality, is that Tim Tebow is bigger than all of them in that town and always will be.
And that's fine. But Tim Tebow, he's bigger, but he's not better. And that's what matters. That's what matters.
In the view of the city, he is.
If you can't help us win games in that locker room, I don't give a damn how big you are. You got to help us win games. You have to bring something to the table outside of, I'm popular in Jacksonville.
No doubt.
But that's not helping us win games.
He's got to get a lot more before they even get to winning games. He's got to earn respect and everything else before he even gets to that point. So, I mean, that's even.
If he makes that team and I'm on that team, I have absolutely zero problem with it because I've been in training camp. I've seen the work. I've seen the progression. I've seen the improvement. And Urban Meyer's not going to keep him on the team just to keep him on the team. He's going to have to earn it. And if he makes the team and I'm on the team, I'm okay with it because I've seen the progress.
Yeah. These kids that are on
the current roster, they may be in awe of Tim Tebow because they were all kids when he was playing in college and winning the national championship. Two national championships and winning a Heisman Trophy. But when it comes to playing football, if Urban Meyer took the, you know, if he would have hired, Tim Tebow to be on the staff or be in the front office or be like a quarterback whisperer or quarterback coach or something along those lines, it would be more respected. But to give him an opportunity that he doesn't deserve, I think that's what everybody has an issue with.
But that happens all the time. Aaron Jones' brother was just signed by the Packers yesterday. Aaron Jones' brother, his twin brother, was given a job by the Packers yesterday.
Given.
Aaron Jones' brother was in a camp a couple of years ago as well. Years ago, not 9 years ago. But, see, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, but bring him on the staff. You know, make him assistant quarterback coach if that's the reason why he's there. Don't bring him into a locker room where guys are where you're going to create strife within the players.
The biggest problem is it's a new position after out of the game for almost 10 years. That's probably the biggest people. Whoa, tight end. He hasn't played in how long? That's the biggest problem. Like, you bring up Aaron Jones. His brother was just in a training camp 2 years ago.
But is there a need? Is there more of a look at, in terms of the optics of how long it is versus it being, you know, he can't do it, or why is he doing it? Or
absolutely, man, I couldn't imagine putting on a set of pads right now and getting tackled physically. Right, but what I would feel like 10 years
after
playing football.
But Tebow is a lot younger than us. He's 10 years younger than us. His body is different than our body for sure.
We got to go, but I will say this, and I know it's a different sport, and I know it's more singular, and this is that you have to take into consideration what type of impact this could have in terms of your authority as the head coach, and, you know, how serious in nature should we take you as a coach, because some of these guys make more money than what Urban makes, and you're not in college ranks anymore, and that's what a lot of these coaches come into. But just a quick example, it's funny, I was watching the documentary yesterday to give myself some motivation. I was watching George Foreman's story and how he was gone for all those years and had gone into the church and was evangelizing and all those things, and his situation was much different. I mean, he did it for financial reasons to be able to try to fund his youth center that he had, and he went back into boxing, and everybody was having, I mean, it was way more outraged than this, and there was a lot of people calling it a fake and it's a phony and it's a fraud, and we knew the reasons why he was doing it, and that man went out and won he won the championship. He won the world championship.
Knocking out Michael Moore.
He could be Larry Holmes versus Tyson, too.
He could be Larry Holmes or Michael Spinksworth versus Mike Tyson and get knocked out. Hey, you're listening to Up On Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burns. All we do is like to have some real cold-blooded conversations and throw a lot of IFs out there and say, if it were, and if it's this, and if it's that. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. Sexy, sexy, sexy. We get real spicy on this show, so make sure you stay tuned in. We're coming back, and you know, shots out and rest easy to my man Kobe Bean Bryant. The Hall of Fame class is going in, and we know who they are. We'll explain or debate next. Is this the best NBA Hall of Fame class ever? Yeah, you think about that. We're going to come back on the other side of this break and be real, real cold-blooded.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Welcome back. It's Up On Game. What up, y'all? I know if you're listening to the show, y'all be hearing us vibing to the music, because Sammy, shouts out to Sammy, Ryan, and Ralphie back there. Support part of the team, make this thing work. Sammy brings us back to some dope music, takes us out to some dope music. And if you're listening to our podcast, you may not understand. And by now, if you're listening to our podcast, we know LeVar. The music doesn't go on to the podcast. So when we hear you guys playing around and acting like you're listening to music when we can't hear any music, that there is music on the radio show. Yeah, I know.
Tune in on Saturday between 1 and 3.
Sometimes you got to hear it live. Just to be able to get it. All right, listen, we got a quick segment here, but I wanted to throw this one out at you guys before we hit the top of the hour. And it's amazing that Kobe's going into the Hall of Fame. He's also going in there with Tamika Catchings and our boy Tim Duncan, as well as KG. I looked at it and I was like, man, is this the illest class in Nebraska? Right, so I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm like, man, no, seriously, is this the illest Hall of Fame class to ever go into the Hall of Fame? And I came up with one that was competitive, but I want to get y'all's opinion on it. It's the 2009, I believe. The 2009 class boasted one, of course, MJ, Michael Jordan. David Robinson.
John Stockton.
And John Stockton.
And don't forget my girl Vivian Stringer.
Okay. But does that outweigh Tamika Catchings going in with Kobe?
It does. One of the greatest college women's basketball coaches of all time down at the Rutgers University, over 1,000 wins. How can it not? But there has been some great basketball Hall of Fame classes. 93, you had Dr. J, Bill Walton, and Calvin Murphy.
Nice.
1980, you had Jerry West, Oscar Robinson, and Jerry Lucas.
Nice.
Come on, man.
Is that better?
Look.
Is that better than this class?
1987. Pistol Pete Maravich, Walt Frazier, and the underhand free throw man himself, Rick Barry. But
Plex, I see you dropping knowledge, bro.
2008,
boy, you ain't playing this morning.
2008, Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon. And if you don't know who Adrian Dantley is, you might as well just hang up the phone and get off my line right now.
See, but hey, Plex, you own it this morning, boy. Hey,
come on, man. I'm a basketball aficionado when it comes to this stuff, man.
Oh, my gosh.
This is why I say if it's not the best, it is the best. You go 12 seasons from 1999 to 2010. They won 10 of the 12 NBA titles. I'm talking Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett.
No doubt.
Those classes, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. You're talking about one of the greatest two guards, two of the probably top four power forwards to ever playing a game at Duncan and Garnett. Come on, man.
I couldn't pick one over the other.
Teddy Bridgewater, throwing shade or keeping it real. We'll be right back. Fox Sports Radio.